And we're back in the King's Arms. This is obviously ages later from the last time we recorded that you would have heard us with the ambient noise of the King's Arms in Godalming or a lovely evening. It's not the sunny summer evening that we wanted. I'm Matthew Rose. I'm here again with Michael O'Sullivan. Hello, Michael.
Good evening, Matthew. Hello.
We are talking Alien. The first Alien, Alien 1?
Alien 1, indeed. Alien 2, yep. So. Yep, Alien 1.
Let's get the information out of the way. When and where is it showing?
Alien is playing on Friday the 16th of August at 8 o'clock at the Godalming Borough Hall, which is opposite Waitrose, for any of those who don't know where it is.
So Friday night, date night, big cinema, everyone's going up to see that one. Can you, if anyone's listening to this and they don't know about Alien, they need to be convinced to see Alien, what's the elevator pitch, brief summary you could give for this film?
Okay, Alien, one of the greatest horror sci-fi movies of all time. We are screening the original film from 1979. This film astonished me. I didn't realize it. That's 40 years ago.
It is 40 years.
And it tells this astonishing story of a spaceship, a space merchant vessel, which perceives an unknown transmission as a distress call. It lands on the source moon of the transmission. One of the crew is attacked by a mysterious life form, and they soon realise that its life cycle has merely begun.
That's good.
Now, this film, as we said, was made 40 years ago, directed by Ridley Scott, and it was followed by three sequels: Aliens, 1986, Alien 3, 1992, and Alien Resurrection in 1997, which were directed by James Cameron, David Fincher, and Jean-Pierre Jeunet, respectively. And, of course, Ridley Scott then also directed a prequel series, which composes Prometheus in 2012 and Alien Covenant in 2017.
Yes, but we're not going to hold them against this film.
You can't, because this is the best one.
Absolutely.
Of the lot. And in fact, I would go so far to say one of the, if not the best sci-fi horror movies of all time.
Yeah, I think I'd agree. It's not an extensive genre.
No,
it's not extensively populated by good films.
No, it's not.
I think it is an extensive genre of, you know, mediocre B-movies. This is a great film. I made a flippant comment, a joke earlier about it being date night, but who is it for? Let's make sure we're getting an age-appropriate audience.
When the film was originally released, it attracted an X certificate.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's an X?
I know. It's 18 plus.
Mm.
So we're looking, you know, late teens. And life's moved on in 40 years, I agree, I think. But I think anybody, you know, and it's hard for me to even make this assumption as old as I am, but I would have thought, you know, if you know you're going to be easily scared, there are scenes in this movie that when I saw it, and I was 30 when I saw this film, so that tells you how old I am. When I saw this film, I jumped out of my seat at least three times.
Okay.
It is a scary, scary movie. It really is. I can tell you a couple of stories about the making of it. Particularly, there's a scene early in the movie, which if you've not seen it, I don't want to spoil it for you, but there is a scene when just think about this. If you know the character, played by John Hurt, all I'll say to you is that what happens to him in the movie, he did not know was going to happen to him.
Oh, really?
Until the actual filming.
Right.
Right.
Did anyone?
Nobody did. The okay. only person, the only people that knew were the director, the effects team, and he got, and Ridley Scott had the most fantastic effects team working with him on this movie. None of the actors knew, the cameramen knew.
Okay.
And the production team, but none of the actors knew.
Okay, so the actors' so performance
the,
there.
The actors were, yes, they were performing, but they were performing against something they had no clue about, because that the cut, he had three cameras running when he shot this particular sequence.
Nice.
And so one was on the John Hurt character, and the other two were focused on the actors. They were in two groups on either side of a table where the John Hurt character is laying, so you've got the expressions on their faces And they are real.
Great.
This is not acting. This is, oh my God.
that is a scene that has been pastiched and referenced.
In fact,
it's so classic.
Absolutely. And if you look on our website, you will see there's some very, very funny material about it. So it's pretty good, actually.
So how can people get tickets? How much are tickets?
The tickets are free.
They're free?
The great thing about this film festival, it's free. You get your ticket by logging on to our website, gonamingfilm.com. Go to the alien section and click on the Eventbrite.
The alien section.
The alien piece.
Nice.
In fact, you don't have to do that. Just go to Eventbrite directly and do it. But, just go and take a look. If you're concerned a little bit, do your own research. You know, if you're worried about it not being age appropriate for your teen kids or whatever, or your grandchildren, just go and take a look and see. Can I just tell you a couple of other things about this, I think it's quite fascinating, because when we were looking for themes for this year's film festival, we started looking at anniversaries. We were looking at people's first important movies, etc. We're looking at British connections, anything that gave us a bit of a hint as to the type of movies that we should be using. So Alien does a couple of things. One, it's the anniversary. It was 1979. Mm-hmm. It's 40 years old. It wasn't Ridley Scott's first film. It was his second film.
Okay.
But we'll get on to that. And it wasn't Sigourney Weaver's first film, but it was the first film that made her a star.
Yeah.
And I've got some... But also, the most extraordinary thing is that the special effects team that Ridley Scott put together, when I think about firsts, there were a lot of other firsts as far as the movie was concerned. The other great first thing about this, and very few people know that, all right, the movie is set in space. The whole film was shot in 14 weeks at Shepperton Studios.
Okay.
With the miniatures actually being shot at Bray. Both studios still exist. In fact, in the news very recently, Shepperton have just made a deal with Netflix. Mm. Netflix have taken over the 10 main stages at Shepperton to make all of their products for the next 10 years.
Great.
So Netflix obviously think they're
on to a winner. Keep the studio going, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me say, the Alien kept the studio going for a long time. In fact, Ridley Scott owned Shepperton Studios at one time.
And this was one, you're absolutely right. We had a few themes that we were banning around, things that we were trying to slot films into. And I think there might have been three of us bringing this one when we were talking about it. Yourself, Paul, and I saying, Alien will be a great film to show. And as an evening show, exactly as we are, why are you excited to bring this? Why was this one that you thought, that's going to be good?
I think for several different reasons. There's personal reasons and there's aesthetic reasons.
Okay.
The personal reasons are important as well. I'd first met Ridley Scott when he made his first film, which was The Duelists, which he made a couple of years earlier. Anybody that had known him in his previous 10-year career, where he'd been a commercials director, and he and his brother Tony had created one of the most successful advertising agencies in London, Scott Free.
Right.
And they were, between them, they were responsible for the Hovis adverts, the most expensive advert ever made, commercial ever made, for British Airways, and then commercials for Barclays Bank and various others. So, but Ridley had always had this great desire to be a filmmaker, because he'd been to the Royal College of Art. He started the film school there, so he was always playing with cameras and sound and editing and everything else. And on The Duelists, got himself into a lot of trouble by actually operating the camera in a unionized environment. People didn't like it very much. The unions didn't like it. But I think when I saw his approach that he was taking, it wasn't a Paramount film. Alien was made by 20th Century Fox.
Mm.
But I knew all that crew that were involved, in particular the special effects crew.
Okay.
And what one realised at the time, they worked off a very, very tiny budget.
Right.
You know, the film cost about $8 million.
Okay.
$8 million to make. I mean, you know, this was, it wasn't exactly Blue Peter, But let me be honest, some of the stuff they were making with egg boxes and tin foil and everything else right. was actually quite amazing. And they're very, very clever guys. But
that sort of thing, you can see this as a film that it's helped because they've had to hide things. They've had to actually take the terror and not just present it on screen to you. They've had to hide it in shadows and do interesting things with lighting. And that helps. That has made the film better.
Oh, no, there's absolutely no question. Mm. I think that was the one element that, you know, was instantly recognised. And I want to tell you a few things about what the film critic Roger Ebert wrote about Alien.
Mm.
And it has always been the case with Ridley that his two things, his attention to detail and his ability to tell a story with dramatic sense.
Right. Yeah.
It's always been chosen some fabulous actors to deliver what he wants. But I thought if you just go back to that whole thing about the effects team. He had a group of guys, Fat won the Academy Award in 1980 for the best effects and best visual effects. It's a Swedish guy called H.R. Geiger, who was this brilliant designer who actually designed what turned out to be one of the most iconic sci-fi references, which is the actual creature. So he designed the creature with a guy called Carlo Rambaldi, who'd also done King Kong and E.T.
Okay.
But the real effects in terms of the frighteners were delivered by two English guys, Brian Johnson and Nick Alder.
Yeah.
And they'd actually worked with Gerry Anderson on all of his puppet type stuff.
Stingray.
Stingray, and that's where they got their start. But they met up again, each of them having worked on other films, 2001, Braveheart.
Right.
But they got together on Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
That's where they were delivering stuff for George Lucas that really gave them the background to enable them to deliver what Ridley wanted for his film.
Okay.
Let's tell you a little bit that Roger Ebert said.
Back
20 years ago, 10 years ago, 2009, 30th anniversary of Alien, Ridley decided to recut the movie.
Yeah.
And delivered another DVD. I'm not sure which one we bought, but it probably isn't that one.
I think we're going theatrical, yeah.
Yeah, good. Mm. So, but when that new cut appeared, Roger Ebert wrote the following. At its most fundamental level, Alien is a movie about things that jump out of the dark and kill you. It shares a kinship with the shark in Jaws, Michael Myers in Halloween, and assorted spiders, snakes, tarantulas, and stalkers. Its most obvious influence is Howard Hawks' The Thing, 1951, which is also about a team in an isolated outpost who discover a long-dormant alien, bring it inside, and are picked off one by one as it haunts the corridors. Look at that movie, and you see Alien in embryo.
Right.
In another way, Ridley Scott's 1979 movie is a great original. It builds on the seminal opening shot of Star Wars from 1977 with its vast ship in lonely interstellar space and sidesteps Lucas's space opera, though, to tell a story in the genre of traditional hard science fiction with its tough-talking crew members. One of the great strengths of Alien is its pacing. It takes its time. It waits. It allows silences. The majestic opening shots are underscored by Jerry Goldsmith, with scarcely audible, far-off, metallic chattering. It suggests the enormity of the crew's discovery by building up to it with small steps. The interception of a signal. Is it a warning or an SOS? The descent to the extraterrestrial surface, etc. Now, we talked a little bit earlier about Sigourney Weaver, and he had this to say about that. Sigourney Weaver, whose career would be linked for years to this strange creature. The producers must have hoped for a sequel, and by killing everyone except a woman, they cast their lot with a female lead for their series. The trade magazine Variety noted a few years later that Weaver remained the only actress who could open an action movie, and it was a tribute to her versatility that she could play the hard, competent, ruthless Ripley and then double back for so many other kinds of roles. One of the reasons she works so well in the role is that she comes across as smart. the 1979 Alien is a much more cerebral movie than its sequels. And the characters and the audience genuinely engaged in curiosity about this weirdest of life forms.
Yeah, he is bang on there. And she does give. But that point about the silences, she is such an expressive actress who shows you what she's thinking and what's going on. It's worth giving her that space to do that thing. And it works.
But you know, 40 years ago, it was unusual. And I know, you know, in today's environment, 2019, it's different. But in 1979, action roles for women were few and far between. Mm-hmm. Interesting enough, of course, Ridley did a couple of other big movies with girls in action, you know, G.I. Jane, not one of his greatest. But then, of course, Thelma and Louise, which we showed last year at the film festival. So I'm looking forward to it. I think, you know, audience members, get out there, book your tickets, prospective audience members, take a look at what we've got online. As I said earlier, do your own research. If you're worried about the horror impact, take a look. But be cautious.
Bring someone who can hold your hand in the scary bits.
Absolutely. As Matthew said, it's date night.
Yeah.
Well, you'll be jumping in each other's laps, I'll tell you, halfway through this thing. Not even halfway through. Right at the beginning.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. I'm looking forward to seeing that with an audience for the quiet terror of it, for everyone going through the same thing. So it'll be great. Do you want to remind us how people can get tickets?
Get your tickets by going to godalmingfilm.com, go to the Eventbrite app and book your tickets for free.
Great. We will see everyone there, and we'll see everyone at all the films in August.